Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Armchair Survivalist. Today is November 17th in the year 2019, and I'm Kurt Wilson, your Armchair Survivalist. If you're listening to me right now, then obviously you know how to listen to me, but there's all kinds of different ways to listen to me. You go to the website, armchairsurvivalist.com, and any of the pages there will tell you how to do it. You can listen in the chat room, and there's a link right at the top of the page, and it says, listen to my show live Sunday in the chat room. Or if you miss it and you just want to listen to it later on, you can, there's a link there that says, listen 24 hours a day to the recent show of the Armchair Survivalist. Click here. Boom. There you go. Or on the left-hand side of any of my pages at armchairsurvivalist.com will be the little nipper dog listening to the RCA Victor gramophone. And you click on that, and that'll take you to a website that has all of my shows categorized for the whole year. Like, it starts here 7/21/19, and the last one was last week, and those are all there, and you can click on it and download it or listen to it. There's also a bunch of other oddball ways to listen to me. I'm on iHeartRadio, Podbean, Anchor, Stitcher, TuneIn. I'm being archived for posterity at the Wayback Machine. And then we've got, what do we have? Overcast. We have Breaker, Player FM, podcasts at Apple, podcasts at Google, Radio Public, and Spotify, and then Podchaser, and then my RSS feed is right there. You can click on that if you know what to do with it. You can listen on Global Star 3 Satellite. That's Galaxy 19 Transponder 5, KU Band Frequency 11836, Symbol Rate 20.765. Now, on that little part there are 24/7 live feeds that you can click on. If you want to listen to Global Star 24/7, there's two different feeds there. You can click on that and do so. Also, you can listen on the phone. This is not toll-free, so you'll be paying for it. It's area code 641-741-0371. That's area code 641-741-0371. Let's see. There was something else, some other way. There's different ways that I keep getting different ways to listen to me all over the world. And I'll let you know. You go to armchairsurvivalist.com. It'll pop up there, and you can figure it out. Now, I did have a listener create an app for me. And if you go to the App Store, the Google Play Store, App Store, whatever you want to call it, it's the latest app. There's two apps. One of them doesn't work, and the second one does. It kind of works. I got to get a hold of him and help him figure out how to do a direct link to listen live. But there's an app there. You can poke around on that as well. All right, let's see. Let's get some news out of the way for us. For Survival Enterprises, my store at survivalenterprises.com or se1.us or on Government Way in Hayden, Idaho. You can still buy liquids. In fact, we still sell our liquids during the winter. It just becomes problematic. Do yourself a favor. There's a big freeze coming. Colloidal minerals, colloidal silver, ionic minerals, Lugol's iodine, all of the liquid stuff that we sell here at Survival Enterprises. Go to se1.us and go to the health section. You can figure it out. We have some sale items. We're still closing out food tabs. There's a week's worth of food, and these are tablets. They're about the size of a mushed marble, and you chew them up and eat them, and they're like 20 calories each. They'll keep you alive, and they're in a plastic bottle, same size as a GI canteen. It'll fit in a canteen holder. One of those is a week's supply of food for a person. Heirloom seeds, we have a bunch of those. We have some peppers in a little can. These are good gifts, and they are the hottest peppers known to man. We have a new site for, well, it's not a site, it's a web page. You know, you go to health department and se1.us and you click on that and you go to personal care and you can see the goat milk soap. We got them up now. Pictures and explanations and all of that good stuff. Now, if any of you have gone to my archive page, like if you go to armchairsurvivalist.com, see, all of my notes are put up on show notes. In fact, on the left-hand side, you see the links. One of them is show notes. You click on that, and that'll take you to a listing of the dates of my shows with titles, like October 13th, Who Actually Is the Enemy of America? Of course, we're talking about Democrats. October 20th, insulating your home or cabin. October 27th, prepping your car for winter. You click on any of those you want to find out about, and it'll take you to that individual page. So what's been happening in news, and most of you know this already, is that anything conservative or any truth is being blocked or refused to be posted by the mainstream media, by Google, by the most internet providers, Twitter, YouTube. So what my son has been doing, because he's the one that's doing the show notes, he finds the original article. See, what happens is that somebody comes out with an article that exposes some liberal, some socialist, communist, or what have you, and it's either taken down immediately or modified and changed. Well, what a lot of people are doing on the internet now is saving that initial page to an archive. And that way, they can't be changed, and they can't lie and say, oh, I never said that. And this is why I've warned you all. Every text you've ever made, every Twitter you've ever done is archived. Everything is archived. And in the future, you can't lie and say, I never said that. Well, that's not true. You can always lie. Democrats do it all the time. When it's shown in their face that they're racist, say, yeah, you called this guy a bad word about 5 years ago. And they say, no, I didn't. So, well, here's a transcript from archive.org that shows what you did. Well, that's not me. That's somebody stole my account. What's happening is that, let's say CBS comes out with an article that says Trump's economy is doing the best in history of the United States. It gets posted, and then some editor looks at it and goes, who is a moron that dared to put something out like that? So it's changed instantly to say something like Trump's economy is hurting young people. Well, somebody's already archived that. It's that quick. But what they're doing is they're blocking the ability to archive these pages. Like sometimes NBC News would come up with an article and they'd post it on their website. And about 2, 3, 4 years from now, you can click on it and you can still find it. Well, they're blocking that. They're playing all of these games where all of these sites are now being blocked. So my son is really working hard to make sure when I talk to you about an article and I put it on the show notes page, he has an actual link to the original article because they're probably going to change it. Now, in Twitter, YouTube, all the blogging and posting sites, they're blocking everything that has to do with child sex trafficking, Epstein. You know who Epstein is? You should know who Epstein is. This is heavy violations, and this started. Now, we know it's been going on for since Trump was elected. But now, in the past week, it's gotten so heavy, YouTube actually went through and deleted every single account that had mentioned Epstein. Now, what does that look like to you? If you want to know who the enemy is, find out who you can't talk about. And that's what's going on. They're blocking us. They're blocking everyone. All conservatives. You guys have to start paying a lot more attention, and you actually have to get involved. You really need to get involved with something to help fight this, because if we don't fight it, they take our inaction as us saying, oh yeah, well, I agree with that. So you need to stand up and say no. Now, just so you guys know, I send out emails every month to all my people who have signed up through the company or on the website, or called me on a phone, said they put me on your email list. My email address is being blocked. It's not being blocked. It's being shifted over into spam, trash, garbage, whatever your email client calls your spam folder. All of you guys need to look in your emails and look in your spam folder, look in your trash, and you'll see, you might see my email address in there. If you do, please let me know, because then I can contact that local ISP and file a complaint. But that's what's happening to me, and that's been happening for the past year. I send out emails, people complain because they don't get it. I'm like, wait, I sent it out. You're on my list right here. Well, they go look in their trash file, and they find me. Now I got some news for you guys on hemp. Survival Enterprises sells extremely high-quality CBD oils. When Trump took over, the first thing he did was order the DEA to shift hemp into the U.S. Department of Agriculture because hemp is a food, it's a crop. So it's qualified as a crop. Not marijuana, hemp. So the USDA decided that they're going to come and help us now. And they helped us to the tune of 80 pages. Establishment of a domestic hemp production program. And they say, oh, yeah, yeah, no problem. You can grow hemp now throughout the United States. Except we're going to have some controls on this now. So in going through these 80 pages, we are kind of confused. But basically, what's happened is U.S. Department of Agriculture has shifted the control of hemp production and growing back to the department, the Drug Enforcement Agency, DEA. And it works like this. Now every batch of hemp that is grown, and most of the hemp that's grown now in the United States is used for CBD production one way or the other. So they go to testing. All of them do. They test for heavy metals and pesticides and herbicides and levels of contaminants and this and that and the other thing. And each one of these tests are about $50-$60. And that's all. And the producers eat that. Or we do. Because my two farmers grow this stuff for me. Now, the USDA has decided that the department, what do they call this? This is the Agricultural Marketing Service under the USDA. It has created these rules. And that's what it is, rules and regulations. This is not law yet. This is rules and regulations. See, now they give us 60 days. They give us 60 days from October 31st to give them our input as if the establishment ever cares about citizens' input. But what's going to happen now is because the testing is now going to be through only DEA-approved testing facilities. So they're not just going to test for the standard stuff. They're going to test for all kinds of things. This test is going to run about $500 to $1,000 per batch. There's going to be more restrictions. There's going to be more confusion. My farmers, they're freaking out on this. This could put not just everybody out of business, but most of the people growing hemp and selling CBD in the United States. We don't know what's going to happen. We do know, number one, price is going to double, minimum double. Now, this is all going to occur beginning of next year because they gave us 60 days before this goes into law. Let's say I've got 1,000 bottles of CBD oil on the shelf here, but none of them have gone through a DEA-approved testing facility. So what's going to happen? Am I going to be allowed to sell off my existing product, or do I have to dump it? I don't know. We don't know. Nobody knows. Now I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. I have this downloaded on a PDF file. I'm going to be posting it on the website, the show notes website for this date. Any of you out there who understands legalese or who cares, you're going to be able to go and download this thing and look at it. There's a lot of confusion in there, and this is typical with government. Years ago, and this is what happens, okay? Years ago, I was approached in California by Assemblywoman Jackie Speier, a very tall, very beautiful woman. She was one of the survivors of the Jonestown Massacre. If you want to look that up, you'll see her name, Jackie Speier. She said, look, I want to legalize pepper spray in California. I said, okay. So I went and worked with her and the rest of the people on that committee, and I come up with a bill. The bill was a paragraph long. So she goes, all right, thank you for your input. And within 2 months, it comes out in the newspaper. It's now legal to carry pepper spray in the state of California. 6 months later, she calls me up and says, it's not working. People are still getting arrested. Women are getting arrested for shooting a rapist and not carrying pepper spray. I said, well, why wouldn't they carry it? We don't know. So she gave me a copy of the bill. It was like 4 pages long. And in it, the people had to get licensed. They had to get regulated. I'm like, what the hell is all of this? And I told her, I said, you have violated the KISS formula. Keep it simple, stupid. And so you have to keep it simple. Otherwise, people aren't going to do it. So they rescinded all of that and put forward another bill. That was mine. That was original. And now, it's legal in California, and everybody can carry pepper spray if they want. So this is what happens when a government decides to help us. And this right here is what happens when the U.S. Department of Agriculture or the deep state decides to step in and help us. So just a word of advice to you guys, any of you out there who use CBD oil, stock up. Because it is, it's an organic, you can store it in your refrigerator. If you're not using it immediately, see, we have Tupperware containers, what are they called, square rounds for sandwiches, and we'll put 6 or 8 bottles in there and keep it in the refrigerator. Because there's no way I'm running out of this stuff. It handles my pain from arthritis and from, I used to be a professional wrestler and cop, and I worked in the woods, and, you know, all of this stuff. You get old. When you're young, you're invincible. But when you get old, things start hurting. And that's why I take it, and it takes care of the pain without making me goofier than I am. Just to let you guys know, this is on the horizon. We don't know how it's going to come out, but anything the government sticks their finger in never comes out right. All right, now we're going to get into the economy. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but the U.S. banks, now the world banks all over the world are having problems, but the U.S. banks are the ones I'm putting my attention on right now. It was caused after the 2008 collapse, and this problem is causing the next collapse to come. This isn't a question, this is a warning, because it's coming, and every single economist nationwide is saying the same thing. U.S. banks can't function. They don't have the funds necessary for short-term loans or just daily expenses. Part of it's called the repo rate, the repurchase rate. And if you listen to this, now this is from a website, which, and I'll have the link up so you can look at it yourself, and maybe you can understand it better than I do.
Take a look at this chart. It tracks how much banks and others pay for overnight loans using something called repurchase agreements. This is also known as the repo rate. These bumps right here on September 16th and 17th have caused a really big stir in the financial world. That's because the repo market is a critical part of the financial system. It provides a lot of the grease that keeps the wheels spinning, meaning it provides the cash that financial firms need to run their daily operations. When the repo market chokes and cash stops flowing, trouble can reverberate through the economy. That's what happened in September. And in response, the Federal Reserve had to step in to help, providing tens of billions of dollars to borrowers to keep the system cranking. In the weeks since this happened, experts have called the incident a technical malfunction. And banks, for their part, have said it could have been prevented. They're blaming the rules that were put in place after the financial crisis. Rules intended to keep the banking system from falling apart. Imagine two people, Karen and Mark. Karen has $1,000 and she'd like to earn some fast interest on her money. Mark has a stack of treasury notes, but no cash. So he strikes a deal with Karen. One note for $100. But there's a catch. Mark has to agree to buy that note back tomorrow for $101. The difference between the price of the note on day one and day two, that's the repo rate. If everything works properly, Mark gets the cash he needs right when he needs it. And Karen makes some fast money. The repo market functions in the same way. You just have to replace the Karens with money market funds and other asset managers who are looking to make a little money without a lot of risk. And replace the Marks with hedge funds, Wall Street traders, and banks who have a lot of assets, but need cash on hand to fund their day-to-day trading. In the repo market, Karens and Marks all over the financial system lend back and forth for short periods, often overnight. And they do this at an enormous scale. Usually more than $1 trillion runs through it every day. On September 16th and 17th, when the rate spiked, the Karens were not willing to trade cash for securities at the usual rate. So the Marks, who needed cash, kept offering more and more and more until the Fed arrived with help. When the Fed announced its surprise repo operations, people wanted to know, why did the Karens suddenly stop lending? Experts point to two financial deadlines that sapped cash out of the system on the same night, causing a crunch. September 16th was the cutoff for banks to submit their quarterly tax payments. So a lot of money that they might usually lend in the repo market was being sucked out of their accounts and deposited into the Treasury. September 16th was also the day that $78 billion of Treasury debt was scheduled to settle, which just means that another chunk of cash was being turned into securities on that day too. Now, some banks said the crunch was compounded by another factor, a rule put in place after the financial crisis to keep banks solvent. The rule, which is called Liquidity Coverage Ratio, or LCR, requires banks to keep a certain amount of reserves, or cash, on hold at the Fed at all times, among other things. The idea was to improve the banking sector's ability to absorb shocks arising from financial and economic stress. Since the crisis, banks have stockpiled cash in their reserve accounts. Their argument is that keeping these funds on hold makes it harder for them to lend out cash on a dime when money gets tight. Now, for the Fed's part, Chairman Jerome Powell dismissed the possibility of revisiting those rules.
If we concluded that we needed to raise the level of required reserves for banks to meet the LCR, we'd probably raise the level of reserves rather than lower the LCR.
What he's saying is that the Fed would rather provide the extra funds itself than lower those liquidity requirements for banks. And since that press conference, the Fed's done just that. In October, it announced it would start buying short-term Treasury debt at $60 billion a month and continue through at least June of 2020, which means there's going to be money to borrow even if the Karens stop lending again. Its aim is to boost reserves, allowing banks to stay liquid without violating the rule. And in doing so, to keep the wheels of the financial system spinning.
You can see that banks in the United States are not functioning like they should, and they're having to have assistance by the non-regulated Federal Reserve Bank, which is a private corporation. Okay, that's bad enough. Remember where she said they put in $60 billion? In November, the Federal Reserve put in almost twice that, $115 billion. This is slowly getting worse and worse and worse, and they can only make up so much money. Now, remember, it's not like big wads of cash. These are just numbers that they put on the computers. But they can't keep doing it because there is a balance that has to be. There's collateral that has to exist, and it's not working. And the people that are really rich, if you want to use the term 1%, they know this is coming. So what they're doing is they're saving cash. See, when an economy crashes, your credit cards are worthless. Your bank accounts can be grabbed by the government. So these people know this, and they're saving cash. They're saving trillions of dollars of cash. Well, you know, I save a few bucks here and there. And here's the other thing. Remember Trump, and this is the category economy, this isn't Trump, but remember Trump is a monkey wrench in the works for all of these socialists, globalists, and communists worldwide. He's changing things like crazy, and this scares them. They could crash the economy with the intention of making it look so bad that he can't be reelected, because as it sits now, the communists in Congress in the United States, these freaks, it seems like every 20 minutes they change what they're charging him with to try and impeach him. And none of this is going to work because the American people already know this. When I use the term American people, I don't mean Democrat voters because they're brain dead. They'll believe whatever they're told. The elite are worried about it. They're worried about him coming back in for four more years and screwing up the apple cart. See, we're just bags of blood that these vampires can suck off of. Trump doesn't like that. So he's changing it. Well, I'll tell you what. Now, this you might think this is funny, but there are, and I told you this before, many different things can foretell what's coming with the economy. Well, the one that I just saw and really, really got me, not that I care, but the Days of Our Lives, the soap opera, they just released the whole cast from their contracts. What does that mean? It means that these people no longer have to work there if they don't want to. Now, why would they do that to everyone at once? Now, how long has Days of Our Lives been on TV? Like 34 years, 35 years, something like that? If you're pessimistic, the entire cast was released from their contract. Well, at least it wasn't General Hospital. All right, now we're getting into health and food. The swine fever I talked to you about, remember that? Where if a pig or a hog gets it, they usually die within 24 to 48 hours. and it was in China. Well, it's now been exported to Russia. It's shown up there in a couple places in Russia. In fact, it's been exported also, and it's not supposed to be exported to anywhere in the world. It's supposed to be closed down in China, and they're supposed to be protecting everything and everyone, no exports or everything. But the Chinese, they literally have no integrity or ethics. So pigs are being shipped anywhere they want, and they don't care if they're tainted or poisoned or whatever. They just showed up in South Korea. In fact, South Korea slaughtered so many of these pigs just to make sure the swine fever can't spread that the river near there where they did this is red. Now, this is the kind of a stupid thing. Like, they don't want the fever to spread. Where's the fever? The fever's in the blood, and then they fill the river full of the blood. This is like pissing upriver and then drinking water out downriver. I don't understand the concept of, I mean, stupid is as stupid does, and this is how whole swaths of society die off. In the United States, now we're in food and health, all right, so we're going to be talking about food here. In the United States, we've had a lot of crop failures. We've been talking about it, all the news talking about it, quietly though. Because they don't want the population to get in an uproar. The crop failures in the United States are due to, well, they got all kinds of different reasons they claim, right? North Dakota is crop failures, rain and snow. Minnesota, Iowa, freezing, frost. Ohio, early freeze. Illinois, flooding. Colorado, Kentucky, heat wave. Idaho, here in Idaho, they had an early freeze, destroyed a lot of the potato crop. Canada is really getting hit hard. Montana, Wisconsin, New Zealand, Australia, Argentina, we're talking worldwide. This is not global warming, okay? Half of it's because of heat. Half of it's because of freezing. And the problem is we are now in what's known as a solar minimum. It means that there's not as much activity from the sun happening. But it also means that the weather is not predictable. There is the same phenomenons are occurring worldwide right now that happened in the 1600s when we had a little ice age. So this global warming crap is just another means by the globalists to try and control everything. In fact, it's so bad. I have links here, and if you go to armchairsurvivalist.com on the left-hand side of the page, you're going to see my links, and one of them is going to be show notes. You click on that, you'll find the dates of each one of my shows. And what you do is you say, well, let's see, November 17th, I want to find out about these crops, what's happening with them. You click on that, and it'll take you to the page where you will have links to all the source that I'm talking about. In fact, it's so bad. Crops are corn, wheat, barley. It's all traded on the stock markets. Corn has hit a five-year high because almost 75% of the crop in the United States has been wiped out. One way or another, through heat and drought or freezing or frost or something like that. So the price is going up high. If you guys eat corn, which I don't recommend, period, because all corn grown commercially in the United States is genetically modified, so there goes your digestive tract if you do that. That's bad enough. But then you have all these recalls that keep popping up. And I've told you why these recalls occur. This isn't a hypothesis on my part. This is fact. The vegetables and the fruits within the United States are harvested by mostly illegal immigrants that come in the United States, and they have no hygiene. This is standard procedure. If you think they have hygiene in Mexico, you're out of your mind. It's only very few people. So what they do is they go to the bathroom, they just go off in the bushes somewhere, do what they got to do, then come back and they keep picking tomatoes or beans or what have you. So diseases are passed that way. We now have well over 100 different products being recalled in the United States. This is, and I have the list right here. It's party platters, vegetable ranch tray, mixture of broccoli and cauliflower. These are packaged goods. So it's not right, right there in a bin. Here's the best you can do until and it's not never going to happen. It's never going to happen. The United States will never stop hiring criminal aliens to pick their fruits and vegetables. The best you can do is wash everything. Ignore anything on the package that says pre-washed. Ignore that. I lived in Stanislaus Valley for a long time, and they have a lot. There's a lot of vegetables grown there, and they come like the Heinz plant. They bring truckload after truckload after truckload of tomatoes in there, and they dump them into this vat. It's a vat in the ground. It's a concrete vat. It's probably about 10,000 gallons. And what they do is they put water in there, and then they add bleach. That's it. And they dump the tomatoes in that, and then they have a traction belt that grabs the tomatoes and pulls them up and then drops them into the plant. That's called pre-washing. Everything that you buy in the store, packaged or not, every fruit, every vegetable, wash it. I don't mean, you know, hot soapy water. Rinse it off as best you can. Now, what we do, we have a liquid here at Survival Enterprises called stabilized oxygen. In other words, what it is chlorite. It's liquid. It helps long-term storage of waters. It also is an antimicrobial. So you take your sink, one of your sinks, if you have two sinks, but whatever, you know, you're going to have like anywhere from 3 to 5 gallons of water, and you fill it up with cool water. And then you put like 20 drops of this stuff in there. And you swish it around, and you put your vegetables and fruits in there, and let them sit for a little bit. Or you can even use the soap that we carry, some of the liquid soap that we have here, and you wash your vegetables and your fruits. You wash them. I don't care if they say pre-washed. We have I don't know what you call it. It's like a bowl that has a centrifugal part inside of it, and you put your wet vegetables and fruits in it, and you put the lid on, and then you crank it, and its centrifugal force spins all the water off. That's how we do it. We, you know, whatever we get, we wash, and then we spin all the water off. It works most of the time. You guys, you got to pay attention to this. You can't be lackadaisical about it. You can end up dead. You can end up with salmonella, listeria. You can end up with so many different diseases. It is astounding. Speaking of astounding, the winter that's coming, because of the solar minimum, this winter is going to end up being extremely cold. There's a dozen different places on the internet you can go that predict the weather, and most of them are wrong. Most of them will say one thing, and the others will say another thing. I can tell you right now, it's going to be a cold winter. When I'm looking at squirrels running around outside that are fat as badgers, and birds, they're gone. The only birds that I'm finding here in Coeur d'Alene are the bald eagles, because they're coming back now to breed. And they'll do this during the winter. And that's cool. It's cool to go out on the lake and look up there and see a half a dozen bald eagles flying around looking for small critters to eat. So a word of warning to everybody who lives up here, keep your animals inside now. If they're under 25 pounds, keep them inside. Don't let your kitties go roaming off at night or anything. You won't have them in the morning. Let's see. South Africa, by the way, is having its worst drought in 1,000 years. South Africa, we've been hearing about how their water is drying up. This is nothing new, though. And you'll understand when you hear this.
Heat and lack of rain have contributed to concerns over water provision in the country. You've heard the minister referring to that. But what we do know is that several small towns have already run out. Aid organization Gift of the Givers has visited a number of these small towns, organizing boreholes and water delivery. What's really happening? Hydrology expert Gideon Groenewald, good afternoon to you and welcome. You've been to many of these small towns. What's your first-hand experience?
First of all, I think we must start with the drought itself. As Gift of the Givers, we must understand that this drought, we are involved with this drought since 2013. In 2015, we saw the seriousness increasing, and we are actually in a drought that has already lasted for about 20 years in short term, 220 years in longer term, and it's now going in for the worst drought in 1,000 years, according to my record. So it means that no human being or institution can be blamed for the fact that the dams are dry and the rivers are drying. This is part of a natural drying cycle, which is a global cycle.
Just exactly like everyone who has their head screwed on the right side of their body has been saying. This is a global cycle, has nothing to do with what humans have been done. You know, when Mount St. Helens went off, that did more damage to the ecosphere, to the environment, to the ionosphere than all of man's history. All right, now we're going to get into the Islam section of this. This is the part where I tell you what the Muslims have been busy doing for the past week or two or what have you. Let's see. A whack job in France attacked a woman inside the police station, yelling Allah Akbar with a knife to her throat. He got arrested, obviously. She didn't get hurt, thank God. In Jordan, there was a stabbing spree at a quote-unquote refugee camp. And it was a Muslim that did it. They stabbed 8 people, didn't kill them, but just stabbed them all. Unfortunately, a Muslim in Harlem beheaded his wife and his 5-year-old daughter. I'm not going to read the whole article on that. It's too disgusting. But this is what happens. We're bringing these creatures into the United States. And the Islam is it's not a religion. It is a totalitarian philosophy, which hates everyone, including themselves. Well, in Germany, a Muslim lied to get in. Go figure. I mean, that's how they get in. And he befriended an elderly woman in Germany and ripped her off and murdered her. You know, Trump killed, not Trump, but, you know, sent special forces over and killed the head of ISIS. So ISIS is telling all of their followers to set forest fires in the U.S. and Europe. So Australia, coincidentally, is battling unprecedented number of wildfires across all of their country. As a matter of fact, they ordered evacuations as the fires reached Sydney suburbs. There has been over 30 Muslims elected to office within the United States. And we have another one now in Portland, Maine. She's going to be on the city council. This is what's known as jihad by immigration. People ignore people like me, you know, because I'm just a right-wing conspiratorial kook. But this is how Islam has taken over most cities in the past few hundred years. They can't get on their horses and go swinging their scimitars and invading and raping and killing anymore. Now of course, they use AK-47s now or weapons that our CIA has issued them. But what they do is they use our laws, our rules against us by immigrating to the country. And this they're doing all through Europe. Many of the countries in Europe and Greece and Italy are no longer sovereign because they're now been taken over by Muslims. What they do is, and I mean Middle East Muslims, most of them are the scum of Islam, which are the Somalis. They move into a city. They don't mix with the other population. They create an enclave, and they live there. One of them moves into a HUD housing area in a city. And then as soon as another house next to him is available, he calls his friends and says, quick, get over here. So they start renting all of the different houses and all of the apartments close to them. And next thing you know, they got like 15,000 of them living in an area. White people are not allowed in. And then they start voting, and they vote for their people in. And that's why we have 3 of them right now in the Congress of the United States, because they were voted in by Somalis. They were voted in by Muslims, not by Americans. I don't care if you got a green card. I don't care if you were born in this country. If you're a Muslim, you're not American. The Constitution of the United States cannot exist within Islam. It cannot. All right, now we're getting into the party of racism, intolerance, anger, hate, and fear. In other words, Democrats. Or liberal psychosis is the name of the category. I talked to you once before about what's happening with Drudge Report. Drudge was one of the most staunch Trump supporters there has been. All of a sudden, things took a change, and people are noticing it all over the place. Not only is Drudge losing money, he's lost $18 million in advertising so far since this started a few months ago. But it's getting worse. It's getting bad enough that it's being noticed by others.
Edge Report's my favorite website. Everything there in one place, the best headlines, very fair, very aggressive, very bold. But is Drudge beginning to turn on President Trump? Many people keep asking me about this. I get texts. So we started to look into it. In August, the traditional leaning Drudge Report began posting several anti-Trump stories, all kind of stacked together. On August 11th alone, there were five negative Trump headlines all in a row. That's what you log on to CNN.com for. It just seems like the website has recently played up Trump gaffes and downplayed his successes. Now, of course, the liberal media has pounced on this shift in coverage.
There's no question that his tone has shifted. And in some ways, it's because he knows what side his bread is buttered on.
It's really stunning to see him, one of the president's biggest supporters early on, turn on him.
The president is no doubt upset with the fact that Drudge has not been a strong ally in his selection of stories recently. These are signs that maybe the audience that they pay attention to the most is being told all's not well. That's why it's significant.
So why the change?
Well, I'm sure the actual why is going to be figured out sooner or later. It's now it's down to there's only one conservative website left, and that's Fox News, and they're not conservative anymore either. They're all, the owner is liberal. The majority of the hosts on there are liberal. There are just a few, maybe half a dozen of them, hosts on Fox that are not liberal. Now this is a strange survey, but it's fully understandable once you understand it. It's easy to understand because it's about millennials, and these are people that are between age 20 to 40, you know, somewhere around there. And it says that 60% of them don't feel worthy. Now, what does that mean? These are self-centered, narcissistic, entitled snowflakes. Not all of them. You know, there's a few of them out there, I guess, that aren't all of this way. But these are the people that we've been reading about for the past 5 years that have screwed up society to such a degree. Nobody knows what's up, what's down, what's real, what isn't real. These people are complaining because they're overwhelmed. You know, they got work, and the work, they don't like the work. It's like something that they have to do, but they don't like doing it, so it overwhelms them, and they're suffering from mental health. And it's, you know, I have the link. You can go look at it yourself, but I can sum it up really simple. Problem is, these boys and girls, men and women, they're in a society now that is so confusing and hypocritical to not just themselves, but reality, there's no wonder they're always upset or always confused. Well, let me give you some examples. Now, realize we're under the liberal psychosis category now, right? Okay. California. A guy's eating a sandwich on a BART station, right? Waiting for the train. He gets arrested for eating a sandwich. Meanwhile, you can go and crap in the street, and that's totally okay. So he gets arrested for eating a sandwich. That's like, what? Popeye's chicken sandwich has come back. Now, I'm not going to go through all of these things, but I mean, all of this is ridiculous. Popeye. Popeye's chicken sandwich. You want a chicken sandwich? No big deal. I can make you one. But what happens is, so far, a woman got slammed to the ground, broke her neck. Guy got beat up. 12 people got beat up, different times. One gets stabbed. One gets run over. A drive-up window clerk got pulled out of the drive-up window when he told the guy that drove up that he's out of sandwiches. These are savages that are performing these acts. This is, all right, so why are the millennials confused? This is acceptable behavior. Disney, as a matter of fact, Disney is coming out again with all of their old, you know, Dumbo and Lady and the Tramp and other things, and they're putting snowflake warnings out. Please be aware that these are not culturally the same as you're used to now. You might get triggered. A newspaper apologizes to a college newspaper apologizes to the students because some of their articles were triggering people. They were triggering the snowflake millennials. a woman in England. She works as a birth coach, and she's in an organization of birth coaches. And she made the mistake of saying that only women can have babies. So she's been drummed out of that organization because that's insensitive. What about the transvestites out there that pretend they're women? Or what are they called? Transgenders. Okay, that's the new word. You can love this. This would never happen in North Idaho, I can tell you right now, this one. So somebody put the sign up at college, Oklahoma. It's okay to be white. Nothing else on there. No signature, no meeting at 10, no nothing. It's okay to be white. That's all. It's okay to be white. Well, the police decided that could be possibly a hate crime, so they're investigating who put those flyers up. And in fact, it's such a deadly, dangerous break of the law that the FBI is now investigating it as well. And you know how in the United States, certain liberal cities are allowing transvestites to go read stories to their children? They call it the drag queen story hour. Well, Sweden has now decided to spend $75,000. And you know where they're getting this money, and it's to support drag queens in the libraries in Sweden. When you die in Sweden and you don't have a will, and there's no surviving spouses or children or something, so all your money goes to the state. Well, the state's taking money out of that now, and they're going to use that to support transvestites grooming their children. The governor of Wisconsin, a very typical Democrat communistic, he's decided that they're no longer going to have Christmas trees in Wisconsin. They're going to be called holiday trees. Holiday. Governor Evers, good communist. I mean Democrat. San Francisco. Now, this is why millennials are confused, and they don't have the ability. Okay, I'm going to tell it like my grandpa did. They couldn't pour piss out of a boot with the instructions on a heel. It's that simple. First off, they'd get triggered by looking at a boot. Never mind anything else. They get triggered by that. San Francisco gets a new district attorney. This is fully expected as well. He was raised by Bill Ayers. This is the communist, and I mean communist, that helped raise the Obama nation. This guy worked for Hugo Chavez. He's a district attorney, Chesa Boden.
San Francisco's newly elected district attorney vows not to prosecute public urination and other quality of life crimes. The DA, who once served as a public defender, says, quote, "We have a long way to go to decriminalize poverty and homelessness."
Well, Dana, there is concern because of some of the promises that Chesa Boden made when he was campaigning for the job that he officially won over this past weekend, once all of the ballots were counted. The progressive lawyer and former public defender said his office would not prosecute crimes like public urination, solicitation of sex, public camping, and blocking a sidewalk. He also wants to end gang enhancement, which adds time to your sentence if you're a gang member. He calls that racist. Boudin says quality of life prosecutions unfairly target the poor and people of color and put a burden on the DA's office.
We are wasting resources in courtroom and valuable law enforcement time and energy on the least serious crimes. Under my administration, I promise that we will focus resources on serious violent crimes.
While residents would hope that their district attorney focuses on violent, serious crimes, Boudin's choice to essentially decriminalize many quality of life crimes will not go over well with residents who are fed up with having to sidestep syringes that litter the streets and people relieving themselves in broad daylight. While progressives, including Bernie Sanders, are tweeting their congratulations to Boudin, the Police Officers Union says that his policies will hurt the city and decimate public safety. In fact, the president of the Police Officers Union here is essentially begging Boudin to reconsider his position and, quote, grow into a champion for all crime victims.
So what the problem is that when you have a society that panders into psychosis, that panders into non-reality, that basically kisses the butt of the worst particles of their society, then people with any semblance of sanity become confused, because man is basically good. And he wants things to be right. And he knows instinctively what's right and wrong. And this is the thing that is worldwide. They know instinctively what's right and wrong in that society or in that group or in that country. But then their leaders are telling them that it's totally okay, to give you some examples, it's totally okay to be cowardly, weak, and a victim continuously through your life because you're not in charge of yourself, you're not responsible. It's okay to have sex with children, it's okay to have sex with animals, it's okay to have sex with, well, each other, whether you're male, female. And they get confused when they hear that there's 173 genders. What psychotic dreamed that one up? You don't need to work hard because society owes you a living because you spent 15 years in school. So therefore, even if your master's degree is in early North Semitic languages, which haven't been spoken in 10,000 years, you should get a good job. I have a doctorate, and I've never cashed it. I've never tried to cash it in. I've never tried to use it. All it was, when I finished it, I realized I had just wasted my whole life up to that point. And it was good because it taught me how to do research. It taught me how to learn. But the problem is you get these people who go through college on the government's dole. The government pays them to go through school. This is the problem in the United States. And you'll hear all these communists that are running for Democrat president to say, they'll say, well, we're going to forgive all the student loans. Why? These people were foolish enough to get these loans knowing full well, because they've been warned, they're never going to get a job in what they graduate. You know, when they graduate from a certain type of study, like women's rights, you're just not going to get a job. You have a master's degree in that. Good luck. You'll be flipping burgers. You'll be mowing yards. And this is what's confusing these millennials. They hear what they're told. They see their peers acting out. And then they find out that in real life, it doesn't work that way. But they were told that it would work that way. So they're all confused. I have never seen so many cowards and weaklings in my life coming of our society, except in the past few years. Have you ever watched Survivor? There's a guy on there that is a perfect millennial. I mean, he is apologizing for everything. He's entitled like you wouldn't believe. They had to kill a chicken to eat it, and he went into shock. It astounds me. So there should be no confusion on why millennials are upset, feel they're not worthy. When you spend your time taking pictures of yourself or texting, I'm telling you, almost 90% of the accidents in the Northwest, automobile accidents, are caused by some idiot who's looking at his phone. You know, they have these clips now, the phone, your phone, cell phone can be right at your eye level. Well, what are these idiots doing? They're looking at Facebook posts while they're driving, or they're watching a movie. We were following somebody on the freeway doing about 50 miles an hour, weaving side to side like a pinball, and it was in the dark. I thought maybe they were drunk. When we finally got up alongside of them, and I looked over, and the girl, she was a millennial, was watching a movie on her cell phone while she was driving. These are self-destructive acts, and it's the worst part is, it's not just them that are going to be destroyed. See, that's okay. That's how nature culls out society and kills off the weak and stupid and dangerous. No, in this society, they'll end up killing us. I don't know. Things are going to have to change. Now we're going into a special subject that I think you guys need to know about. Most of us have heard about Jeffrey Epstein and the fact that he was a pedophile and that he procured sexual partners, shall we say, based on, from the age of 12 up for very famous and rich people worldwide. There's been many stories told about him, many, many articles throughout the past year or 2 years, 5 years, 10 years on Jeffrey Epstein and his famous airlines called the Lolita Express. Well, Project Veritas, and most of you know what Project Veritas is, released some information November 5th. Prior to that, November 4th, the head of Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, activated what's called a dead man switch, which means anything happens to him, all of his information is released instantly onto the internet. Now, you know the mainstream media blocks things. They block all kinds of stuff. Fox News blocked a whole article that would have blown genetically modified organisms sky high. They blocked that. And I have the recording off that. Well, O'Keefe has the same thing. He has had, and he released it, he had a hidden recording of a newswoman complaining that her bosses wouldn't allow her to release the information on Epstein and the Clintons and other famous people when she had it. And she's really, to quote her, pissed off about it.
I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. Then the palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew and threatened us a million different ways. We were so afraid we wouldn't be able to interview Kate and Will that we that also quashed the story. And then Alan Dershowitz was also implicated in because of the planes. She told me everything. She had pictures. She had everything. She was in hiding for 12 years. We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton. We had everything. I tried for 3 years to get it on to no avail, and now it's all coming out, and it's like these new revelations, and I freaking had all of it. I'm so pissed right now. Like, every day I get more and more pissed because I'm just like, oh my God, what we had was unreal. Other women backing it up. Brad Edwards, the attorney, 3 years ago saying, there will come a day when we will realize Jeffrey Epstein was the most prolific pedophile this country has ever known. And I had it all 3 years ago. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is.
That's tape leaked to us by our latest network insider. This brave insider works at ABC News. ABC News anchorwoman Amy Robach is talking to her producer on a hot mic. She says she had the Jeffrey Epstein story 3 years ago, and her bosses at ABC News spiked it. Our insider told us this tape was recorded earlier this year in late August, a day or so after this NPR report came out sharply criticizing ABC News for not broadcasting the Robach-Giuffre interview years ago.
ABC has episodically covered the scandal, yet the interview was never broadcast, and Giuffre says she was never told why.
On the leaked insider tape, Amy Robach says she had the Jeffrey Epstein story 3 years prior, but her exclusive interview was shelved. Robach says in the leaked tape there was a lot of pressure from Buckingham Palace. According to NPR, the famed lawyer Alan Dershowitz also pressured the network to kill the story.
Shortly before the interview was due to air, Harvard Emeritus Law Professor Alan Dershowitz called the network. He was also one of Epstein's lead defense attorneys.
We wonder if the story was killed to protect the rich and powerful. It seems few were worried about protecting the women who may have been Jeffrey Epstein's victims. Remember, Epstein was still a free man 3 years ago. And just to be clear, the interview has still not aired. What is ABC News waiting for, or who are they still protecting? Robach also has no doubt about what happened to Epstein when he finally was arrested and jailed.
So do I think he was killed? 100%. Yes, I do. Because he made his whole living blackmailing people. There were a lot of men in those planes, a lot of men who visited that island, a lot of powerful men who came into that apartment. And they made it seem as though he made that suicide attempt 2 weeks earlier, but his lawyers claimed that he was roughed up by his cellmate around the neck. That was all, like, to plant the seed. And then, I really believe it. Like, really believe it.
The last of the leaked tape has Robach talking about alleged Epstein conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell and how she should be very careful.
Ghislaine Maxwell, who I had all sorts of stuff on her, too. I love it. I'm like, it's so funny to hear everyone say her name now because I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I had all the, and everyone's like, who's that? Who cares? I kept getting that. Who cares? she knows everything. She should be careful. Well, she was his, like, she went out and recruited all of these girls. She should watch her back. Because if she goes, I mean, I'd have, like, security guards all around me.
The brave insider who leaked this tape to us does not know who at ABC News spiked the story, but someone at ABC does. Our question, who killed the Epstein story at ABC News and why? Help us find out. James Goldston is the president of ABC News. What did he know? And when did he know it? If you're an insider at ABC News or any other major media outlet or big tech company, and you have seen corruption or bias, contact us at projectveritas.com/brave.
Be a catalyst for change. Be brave. Do something.
So this proves that at least some very high-powered people had this information already, and they just did not want it released. And this is standard operating procedure. This whole thing of having sex with children, having sex with younger women, it's been around for, well, thousands of years. But this man took it to the nth degree, where he actually did it and used blackmail, because he videotaped all of this stuff, apparently. He did it to control all kinds of people, and there's so much information out now, and none of it is from the U.S. media. As a matter of fact, the only people who had the chutzpah to do anything about this and actually have a segment on Jeffrey Epstein was 60 Minutes in Australia.
Jeffrey Epstein was a billionaire New York businessman whose vast wealth bought an arrogance that knew no limits. Damn the consequences, he acted as if he could have anything he craved. But what he desired most was sex with young women and girls. For years, he abused them at will. And such were the numbers of victims Epstein exploited, he started trading them around the world. He masterminded a sex trafficking ring, which enabled his rich and influential friends and associates to share in his perversion. Remarkably, those accused of complicity in this scandal include His Royal Highness, Prince Andrew. Tonight, you'll hear shocking stories from very brave women demanding justice. Among them, Virginia Roberts Giuffre, who stumbled into a dark and insidious world she had no power to escape, until she found sanctuary in Australia. Today, this opulent Manhattan mansion sits empty. Abandoned by its owner, the disgraced and now dead Jeffrey Epstein.
It's hard. It's really hard being back here.
But Virginia Roberts Giuffre is determined that Epstein's terrible secrets will not be buried with him.
Being a kid, I didn't even really realize what world I was being brought into.
The world within these walls was inconceivable. A horror house of sexual abuse and international sex trafficking.
I was abused by people that I can't even mention here. There's a lot of scars hidden behind those walls. It should be ripped down. It should be burned to the ground. Some of my worst memories are from this place.
Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you get?
Yes, I do.
Jeffrey Epstein led a privileged life. His extraordinary wealth on show around the world. Money. He had his own fleet of planes, a private island, ranches and mansions in New Mexico, New York, and Paris. Money. But in private, Epstein had a dark and insatiable sexual appetite for young girls, an obsession he shared with like-minded wealthy and powerful friends.
The people that were involved with Jeffrey Epstein included some of the richest and most politically powerful people in the world.
Including a member of the British royal family. Standing accused is the Queen's second son, Prince Andrew. Virginia, who now lives in Australia, says she was trafficked to the Duke of York when she was just 17. Prince Andrew denies any wrongdoing, any knowledge of the Epstein sex ring. But Virginia believes he should be punished.
Do you think Prince Andrew should go to jail?
Yes, I think Prince Andrew should go to jail. I mean, is he ever going to? Probably not.
As a young child, Virginia's life was all about horses and climbing trees, more a tomboy than a princess. But then at 7, she was repeatedly sexually abused by a family friend. By 13, she had fallen victim to 2 other pedophiles.
My life just changed and diminished that light that was in me.
At 16, Virginia was emerging from the darkness, landing a job as a locker room attendant at an exclusive resort in Florida. But what Virginia couldn't know was that in 1999, her past would make her perfect prey for Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, Epstein's partner and procurer of young girls.
She just seemed very nice, and she said, "I've got a person that I know who's actually looking for a traveling masseuse. And if you want, I can get you an interview with him. If he likes you, we can get you educated. You'll be a real masseuse. And you'll get to travel and see the world." And you know, like, she made it sound like it was a dream come true, and it wasn't.
Instead, it was a trap. But trustingly, Virginia told the couple of her past abuse. This was as Ghislaine was teaching her how to massage Epstein here at his Palm Beach Island home.
That was, for them, the key that unlocked the door to knowing how broken I really was.
How quickly did they act on that?
So put it this way, we did the back of him, we did the back of Epstein, and then when he turned over, that's when I was instructed to get undressed and have sex with Jeffrey Epstein while Ghislaine Maxwell was participating as well.
So you were abused by both of them in your very first encounter?
Yeah, both of them. I was abused by Ghislaine and Epstein.
At 14, I was still in middle school. I was straight-A student, never even got a B. I played the first chair trumpet. I was the captain of the cheerleading squad. And then after I met Jeffrey, I just completely quit.
This is where you were living for a while?
Yes, this is where I was living when I met Jeffrey Epstein.
Courtney Wilde was just 14 when she met the 48-year-old Epstein in 2001. At the time, she was living in this trailer park, one of West Palm Beach's poorest communities.
Do you believe that Jeffrey Epstein targeted areas like this?
Yeah, definitely targeted, you know, children like myself that were vulnerable to him and his money. And we felt like we were being helped and saved by him when ultimately he was just preying on us.
Just 12 kilometres away, another world awaited Courtney, the luxurious Palm Beach Island home of Epstein. She was brought here by another 14-year-old to make much-needed cash.
What were you expecting to happen? Why did you think you were coming here?
Well, I knew that I was coming here to give a guy a massage and to make $200. I did know that. It was never told to me that I would be molested by this man or anything like that.
Inside, Courtney very quickly discovered the massage was just a cover for something far more sinister.
We were taken upstairs. It was like a circular stairwell that led to a hallway that led to his bedroom, which the massage table was in his bedroom bathroom. You know, he asked us to get comfortable, to just, you know, take our clothes off, to be in our bra and panties.
Were you abused during that session?
And so we would massage him for about 30 minutes. And then whenever he was ready, you know, rolled over and asked the person that brought me to go downstairs and wait. And once that happened, then that's when the sexual abuse happened.
You're 14 and in a completely alien situation, an incomprehensible position. How did you react?
I just remember afterwards how I felt walking down the stairs, and I just felt so dirty and so like a piece of me had been taken. It was like my dirty little secret.
Jeffrey Epstein was the master of manipulation, luring poverty-stricken girls in with cash and feeding their dreams of a better life. By the time the sexual abuse began, many were too invested in his promises to get out.
So, you know, I have to ask this. Why did you go back?
As an adult, I know it's right to run, but as a kid who had been through what I'd been through in my life already, I guess the last thought that I had was, well, this is what life's about.
Epstein's desire for sex was insatiable, demanding at least 3 different girls a day to massage him and in return be molested. In a perverted pyramid scheme, Epstein would pay extra for his victims to find more girls for him. The younger, the better.
You could tell his addiction wasn't drugs or alcohol. It was definitely young girls. And if I couldn't bring him a girl when he didn't get his obsession, he just would get so mad.
How many girls do you think you brought to Jeffrey Epstein?
I would say at the minimum 50. Anywhere from 50 to 70 girls.
And what were their ages?
The same ages of me, 14, 15, 16. You know, I just hold a lot of guilt and shame for doing those things. And just to know that I had any influence on that happening to somebody else, just, you know, it really is just devastating and breaks my heart.
Did Jeff know anybody's real true age, or he didn't care?
I don't think he cared. He told me the younger the better.
These are just some of the girls from Palm Beach who were lured into Epstein's evil web.
Definitely take my shirt off, so I took my shirt off.
Their young voices retelling a police officer of chillingly similar encounters with the businessman.
He started getting a little excited about it, and he started touching himself.
Despite these girls' testimony in 2005, Jeffrey Epstein would go on to abuse and scar countless more young girls. That he got away with it is a disgrace. How he did so is even worse.
Why did this man get to continue roam the streets freely and sexually abuse other young girls when you knew what he was doing? This was no secret.
Jeffrey Epstein was a man made of money, worth nearly $1 billion. But with friends in high places, he was not only wealthy, but extraordinarily influential. He was a sex trafficker, a sex abuser, and he was virtually untouchable. One of his young victims, Virginia Roberts Dufresne, experienced and witnessed the depravity too many times.
This is New York, this is Palm Beach, this is California, this is Paris, this is London. This is wherever Epstein was touching down. He needed to have girls on constant call. In every single state or every place that he goes to, he's already got people lined up and makers making that happen.
Allegedly, part of the sick Epstein machine was Jean-Luc Brunel, a model agent based in Paris with access to beautiful young girls. Girls he was happy to deliver to Epstein.
Girls ranged in all different ages. I mean, there were girls as young as 12.
You have no doubt he was having sex with a 12-year-old.
I was told by him that he was having sex with three 12-year-olds sent by Jean-Luc Brunel. And Jeffrey laughed about it. He laughed. He thought it was funny.
This is not just a story of terrible sexual abuse, but also an extraordinary abuse of power, where the enormous wealth and influence of Jeffrey Epstein would prove to have the ultimate say, where justice was not just ignored, but deliberately denied by the very people who were meant to stop him.
Every single institution in our society that is supposed to protect the vulnerable failed these survivors.
David Boies is one of America's most prominent New York lawyers. He's representing 9 Epstein victims, including Virginia, in their fight to hunt down those who were a part of Epstein's sex trafficking ring, the scope and scale of which is mind-boggling.
For all the wealth and the glamour and the, you know, the beautiful mansion,
right,
and the
yes.
gorgeous island, I mean, this was tawdry. This was right. dark.
It's very ugly. It's a dark, ugly situation. And, you know, behind the facade of charm and sophistication, it's like turning over rock and you just see the things crawling. It was bad.
Within 9 months of meeting Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, Virginia was being flown halfway around the world to have sex with Epstein's wealthy associates. A little girl amongst a sea of men.
I was a baby stuck in a world where grown-ups were allowed to do whatever they wanted, and I was lost.
And were you trafficked that night?
Yeah, I was trafficked that night.
And so began Virginia's new life, still on call for Epstein, but also for any friend he chose.
I was trafficked to other billionaires. I was trafficked to politicians, professors, even royalty. It was the elite of the world. It was the people who run the world. It was the most powerful people in the world.
Why do you think Epstein did that to you?
He used me as a form of blackmail. So, you know, these people would owe him favors. So he wanted to always have something on someone just in case he needed it.
Virginia has named the men she was trafficked to in documents lodged with the courts. The name that has caused the greatest splash is Prince Andrew, the pair captured in this now infamous photograph taken in 2001.
So as you know, Prince Andrew denies the allegations against him, and he says that this photo is a fake, that he was never there, and that is not his arm, and they're not his fingers.
Those are his fingers. That is Andrew. This photo has been verified as an original, and it's been since given to the FBI, and they've never contested that it's a fake. And I know it's real. And he needs to stop with all of these lame excuses. We're sick of hearing it.
And that was the first time you met him?
And that's the very first time I met him. And that's right before I was abused by him.
Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell took the 17-year-old Virginia to London to party with Prince Andrew.
Then we went to Club Tramp, and he danced with me, and he sweats a lot, and he smells funny. And then we get in the car, and Elin tells me in the car that I have to do what I do for Jeffrey for Prince Andrew. And that's when I learned what was going to happen.
How many times were you trafficked to him?
3 times.
While Prince Andrew denies the allegations, Virginia maintains she's telling the truth. After the encounter in London, she says she had sex with him again at Epstein's New York mansion, where she was seen in his company by this witness, Joanna Schoberg, another victim. Schoberg claims Prince Andrew groped her breast that night. The final time Virginia was trafficked to Prince Andrew was here on Epstein's private island in the Caribbean.
Was it just you and him in that at that time?
No, there were a lot of younger girls with us.
How many young women with you that day or night?
I believe there were 8.
Did you have any conversations with Prince Andrew during those encounters?
Not really. You're not even acknowledged as being alive or there or important or cared for or worried about in any way. None of those human emotions were attached to me when I was trafficked to Prince Andrew.
What about your emotions when you learnt, you know, after the first time that it was to happen a second time and then it was to happen a third time? What was your reaction to that?
Disgusted every time. Just absolutely disgusted. There wasn't one time that I was trafficked to any individual that I thought, oh, he's an okay guy. I was always disgusted that there were so many people involved in this highly organized sex trafficking operation.
Jeffrey Epstein could have been stopped a decade and a half ago.
I didn't know what to do. I was afraid that he was going to harm my family.
His murky massage ruse, enabled by inducement and intimidation, was uncovered when a 14-year-old victim finally told her parents about the abuse.
He made threats that things would happen if I told him first.
For this alone, he could and should have been sent to jail for life. But no one counted on the reach of Epstein's influence.
We had no idea who this person was at the time, anything about him. We advised her that she needed to go to police and to tell her story to police.
Palm Beach lawyer Spencer Coovan was shocked by what police uncovered back in 2005 after raiding Epstein's home. It wasn't just one girl. In the end, they had testimony from 40 victims whose average age ranged from 13 to 16.
We were able to amass a whole wealth of evidence. We knew it all.
Amongst them were damning message pads, clearly showing a trade in young girls, scheduling them for massage appointments.
He has a teacher for you, to teach you how to speak Russian. She is 2 times 8 years old, not blonde. Lessons are free, and you can have your first today if you call.
As well, flight logs showing girls being transported aboard Jeffrey's private plane, dubbed the Lolita Express. As compelling as the case was, Epstein fought back, using intimidation as his main weapon.
He had multiple people that were out there really digging up dirt on not only the victims, but also the lawyers, the police, everyone involved.
Have you ever come across something like that before?
Never.
Getting investigators to investigate the investigators?
Everybody.
Did it work? Did he scare people away?
It definitely worked, sadly. This is a man that's now dead, and they're still afraid to come forward.
But ultimately, there was too much evidence for authorities to ignore. They had to act. But Epstein, with an army of lawyers, negotiated a slap on the wrist and a slap in the face for victims. Instead of admitting to child sex abuse, Epstein agreed to plead guilty to a lesser charge of soliciting a minor for prostitution, and in 2008 was sentenced to a mere 18 months in a Florida jail.
They basically turned victims into prostitutes. These were girls with absolutely no history and no past. To brand them that in a plea with him was just, for lack of a better term, disgusting.
He was a pedophile accusing his victims of being prostitutes. He turned the tables completely.
Absolutely.
This is where Jeffrey Epstein served his sentence, but really, he only slept here. If Epstein had been your average sex offender, he would have automatically been denied work release. But instead, being Epstein, he was allowed out 6 and then 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. Driven by chauffeur to his downtown office, where it said he was attended to by two young victims he flew in from New York. Back here at the jail, the special treatment extended to being housed in his own private wing, protected by his own private bodyguards. So for Jeffrey Epstein, this prison sentence was pretty much business as usual.
Throughout this whole case, there's never been justice. And it started back in 2008. With the secret plea deal that Jeffrey was offered by the state of Florida.
Apart from his light prison sentence, no one knew what else Epstein had negotiated in his secret Florida deal. It turned out he'd wrangled full immunity against any other charges for himself and his co-conspirators. The final outrage, victims like Courtney Wilde were never to be told of the deal.
How do you feel about that?
To be sexually abused by a man and have the government know and then actually co-conspire with the perpetrator to make sure nothing happens to him is just so, it just sounds unreal.
Why do you think the government did that?
Money, power, and I think that there was a lot of people involved in this. This underage minor sex ring that they were running. I think everybody wanted it to go away.
So you believe that there was a conspiracy at play here?
Oh, absolutely.
What is your view of authorities signing up to that? That they're happy to protect a perpetrator at the cost of the victims. They won't even tell the victims what's going on.
It was astonishing at the time, but I know for a fact that the directive to shut it down came from the highest levels from DC.
With Epstein out of jail and with no criminal avenue left to them, victims could only sue for damages. In pursuing Epstein, attorney Spencer Coovan was intent on rattling the businessman.
Could you please give us your name?
Jeffrey Epstein.
Who, until now, had been largely untouchable.
Is it true, sir, that you have what's been described as an egg-shaped penis?
It's a killer first question. What was your second question going to be?
My strategy at the time was that I wanted him to know that as a lawyer on behalf of the victims, I didn't care who he was. I didn't care how rich he was. I didn't care who he knew or how powerful he was.
Was that question based on evidence?
It was. My position was always, how would a 14-year-old girl know what his private parts look like? There is no valid explanation for something like that.
At the time of this humiliation for Epstein, Courtney Wilde was demanding some answers too, which led to her uncovering the secret deal between prosecutors and Epstein. Ever since, she's been fighting to have the deal overturned.
Basically, it took 11 years litigating back and forth with the government for them to finally declare that, yes, my rights were violated and the government was wrong.
Earlier this year, Courtney won her case. Keeping the plea deal from the victims was declared illegal. But the rest of it, where Epstein's co-conspirators are protected in Florida by immunity, stands. Something Courtney is now appealing.
Justice needs to be served. People need to be held accountable. It's not okay to sexually abuse anybody. For the past 11 years, I've just been fighting to get that message across that it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter if you have money or not, you don't deserve to be treated that way.
By 2009, Jeffrey Epstein had served his sentence in Florida, an extraordinarily lax and lenient 13 months, when he could have faced 45 years for his crimes. With his luxury properties and private planes, he travelled when and where he wanted. And old friend Prince Andrew reconnected with him, despite his sex offender status.
What do you think when you see that photo?
mean, they're just two of a like mind, you know? They both love having sex with young women. They both think that they can get away with everything, that they're above society, and for a long time, Jeffrey was. He proved it, didn't he?
Virginia Roberts Dufresne says she was a victim of both men. Her lawyer, David Boies, says she was also a victim of a system prepared to let Epstein get away with it. The secret sweetheart deal in Florida, proof that these young women counted for nothing.
And that's one of the most disturbing and really shameful things, that people who should have known better, didn't know better, turned a blind eye and just let him continue.
But Epstein didn't count on the anger of his victims. When they found out about the secret deal, they took further legal action, which in turn led to the federal authorities reopening the case. What Florida didn't have the stomach to do, New York certainly did. And so on July 6th of this year, Jeffrey Epstein was again arrested and charged. But this time he faced the prospect of life behind bars.
I never thought it was going to happen. I honestly thought he was just going to continue to get away with it over and over and over again, just like he proved so many times. So yeah, it was like Christmas in July.
66-year-old billionaire financier Jeffrey Epstein was in court today
for allegedly engaging in sex trafficking crimes.
How serious are these charges against Epstein, David?
Armed with fresh allegations from new victims, authorities charged Epstein with child sex trafficking and conspiracy to engage in sex trafficking. Raids on his homes in New York and his Caribbean island uncovered hundreds of sexually explicit CDs and photographs, many of underage girls. It looked like the game was up, but Epstein pleaded not guilty and applied for bail, which was denied after the court heard from two victims, including Courtney Wilde.
The fact that I had an influence on him remaining behind bars was just like so powerful for me. If anybody knows that man the way I do, like, there was no way he was just going to stop. He wasn't just going to go home and not do that.
He lived the high life but died in disgrace.
Just a month later, for the final time, Epstein proved he would not be held accountable for his terrible crimes, found dead by suicide in his jail cell. But how he managed that in such a place is a mystery. His shocked death raising suspicions he was a man who knew too much.
It's incomprehensible to me how the American prison system could, with probably its highest profile prisoner, take him off suicide watch, remove his cellmate, not have the guards look in on him. Somehow the cameras are turned off. That's just incomprehensible. On the other hand, it's inconceivable to me that somebody could have penetrated the prison and actually killed him.
Do you believe that if he had lived, that the justice system would have been able to hold him?
Yes. No, absolutely. And the reason I think that suicide is plausible is that I think he knew that the jig was up. He was going to jail, and he was going to jail for a very long time.
Today is a day of power and strength.
Epstein's death did not silence his victims, who were invited to share their pain in open court, even though with his death, the criminal case against him had to be dropped.
I won't stop fighting. I will never be silenced until these people are brought to justice.
Their focus now is on prosecuting Epstein's alleged co-conspirators, Ghislaine Maxwell, considered the most prominent and cruel.
I don't mean to sound sexist in any way, shape, or form, but I expected it from a man, but I didn't expect it from a woman.
Ghislaine Maxwell was a London socialite and daughter of disgraced media baron Robert Maxwell. On her father's death, she moved to Manhattan to join her boyfriend, Jeffrey Epstein, and according to lawyer Sigrid McCauley, soon became his full partner in the sex trafficking ring.
Certainly, I would like to see her being held criminally accountable for what she did. She was an adult. She was an active participant. She facilitated it for years and years. She took money from it.
If she is held accountable, what is she facing?
She would be facing something that would not release her from jail, in my view.
So is it a matter right now that no one knows where Ms. Maxwell is, or you know, is she hiding out somewhere?
Well, she's clearly hiding out. We don't know where she is. Maybe the prosecutors know where she is. She can't hide out forever.
The other person who has gone to ground is Jean-Luc Brunel, the French model agent who is also accused of sexual abuse and supplying Epstein with underage models who were conveniently housed in and trafficked from this New York apartment block, not far from the mansion.
This apartment block, he just had women on tap. He had girls on tap.
He had girls on tap. Jeffrey told me that he has slept with over 1,000 Jean-Luc Brunel's models / victims.
And you believe that?
I do. We need to find these people, and we need to hold them accountable. We need to find Guilin. You know, the world should be looking out for her. She has no shame. She has no heart. She has no conscience.
From 16 to 19, Virginia was at the mercy of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, entrapped by psychological chains she could not break until they made this outrageous proposal.
I spent years with them being manipulated and abused and used. It wasn't until they told me, I want you to have a baby and we're going to give you an allowance, but we also need you to sign a piece of paper that says this child does not belong to you. I wasn't a maternal person back then, but I was like, my womb is not for sale.
But how would you describe this young woman?
Brave, powerful, a survivor.
Do we yet know how many young women are the survivors of Epstein?
We don't really know. We don't know how many actually survive, dying of drug overdoses and all the other things that happen to vulnerable children who suffer that kind of abuse. It's tragic for the survivors, but it is even more tragic for those who don't survive.
Virginia's lawyer, David Boies, says amongst the well-heeled and well-connected here in New York, nerves should be running high.
If I were one of those people, I wouldn't sleep well because it's going to all come out. And you don't know when, and you don't know how, but you've got to worry that somebody's going to talk.
And certainly there is more legal action to come.
There will be lawsuits against his estate. There will be lawsuits against the enablers. And hopefully there will be criminal prosecutions that will help vindicate them. So I think all of those avenues remain. And we are pursuing those literally as we speak.
Jeffrey Epstein's death is not the end of the story. There are so many others who still need to be held to account, and so many other victims suffering in silence. Virginia has set up a foundation to reach those wounded women and children, and to ultimately stop sex trafficking.
What is it that drives you today, Virginia? Is it the sadness? Is it the anger?
It's a responsibility in my eyes. Of course, there is sadness, there is anger, there are scars that will never heal, ever. But to me, more than anything, it's a responsibility that I have. I implore the community to please stand next to me and help me bring down all these bad people. And if you've got somebody in your life that's doing this to you too, speak out, stand up. The times are changing, as they should be, and it's a good time to start holding these monsters accountable.
So Epstein was arrested, put in a special lockdown cell. Then he magically committed suicide on July 23rd. With injuries, they claimed he hanged himself, which there was nowhere in there to hang him. Here's some data from him being in that jail cell. First, he claimed he was attacked in his cell, that his roommate attacked him, or his cellmate. And of course, everyone said, no, that's not true. And his cellmate was never questioned whatsoever. And then, Epstein was put on suicide watch at that point, and then magically they took him off a suicide watch without anybody knowing this. His cellmate was transferred out the day before he died. Epstein was left unobserved for hours. There were cameras in his cell. Magically, the cameras were off. His suicide was impossible. It was physically impossible. Epstein's death was reported on 4chan, the number 4, C-H-A-N, which is a bulletin board on the internet. It's not a nice place to go to, but they reported this news before the mainstream media did. This whole thing about his sex ring has been covered up over and over and over and over and over again. It's ridiculous. And everything was magically covered up with his so-called suicide. Except he had injuries on his wrists and arms, like he'd been handcuffed or tied, or was somebody holding his wrist while somebody else choked him. And then there's the forensic expert who looked at him. First off, he refused to talk to the press because he was under a gag order. Finally, he comes out and he said, look, to tell you the truth, all of the damage to his throat is indicative of a murder. Now, I'm just going to read you this article, all right? It's from Time.com. The names of at least 1,000 people appear in sealed court documents associated with Jeffrey Epstein, a court heard on Wednesday. Whether to make them public is the latest skirmish in a years-long legal battle that continues to play out even after Epstein's death. The revelation came after attorneys for a quote-unquote John Doe asked a federal judge in New York not to release the names of people who were not directly involved with a 2015 defamation lawsuit filed by Epstein's accuser, Virginia Roberts Giuff, G-I-U-F-F-R-E. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm not even going to pretend. Basically, this woman came out and told the media that she had been raped for years, over and over and over, when she was 15 and 16 years old. And she had been used for prostitution by Epstein. And Epstein came out and said, she's just a whore. Well, she sued him for defamation. Okay? So this is where this comes from. So there was an attorney for, nobody knows, John Doe, who said, don't release all the names. The case was settled in 2017, but the details are only just now emerging. A day before Epstein's death in August, a massive cache of documents from the suit was unsealed, revealing accusations against the prominent figures, including former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, former Senator George Mitchell. Within the files, she alleged Maxwell acted as Epstein's madam and was one of the main women whom Epstein used to procure underage girls for sexual activities. And here's what happened right after Epstein died. The court dropped all proceedings against Epstein. Said, we don't need to continue on with this. We don't need anything else to come out. We're done. He's dead. That ends it. So the court sealed everything again. And now we're going to see what's going to happen with that. Now, the news just came out yesterday.
Prince Andrew answering questions for the first time about his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein and accusations of sexual abuse, all in a no-holds-barred interview with the BBC.
This morning, Prince Andrew breaking his silence about the teenager in this 2001 photo, who says in court papers she was forced by Jeffrey Epstein to have sex with the prince. The prince claiming in an exclusive interview with the BBC, he doesn't remember meeting her.
I have no recollection of ever meeting this lady. None whatsoever.
You don't remember meeting her?
No.
Virginia Roberts Dufresne, now a 35-year-old mother, says British socialite Ghislaine Maxwell recruited her when she was 16, then groomed her to become Epstein's teenage sex slave. In court filings in a defamation case against Maxwell, Dufresne claimed Epstein ordered her to have sex with some of his powerful friends, including, on three occasions, Prince Andrew, in London, at Epstein's home in New York, and on his private Caribbean island.
He knows exactly what he's done, and I hope he comes clean about it.
But now, the prince addressing his long relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Even after the financier was convicted of soliciting prostitution from a minor in 2008 and was a registered sex offender, the prince, seen in this video obtained by the Daily Mail, appearing in the doorway of Epstein's home.
The problem was the fact that once he had been convicted,
you stayed with him.
I stayed with him. And that's the bit that as it were, I kick myself for on a daily basis, because it was not something that was becoming of a member of the royal family. And we try and uphold the highest standards and practices, and I let the side down. Simple as that.
Epstein died of an apparent suicide in jail awaiting trial for child sex trafficking charges. Still, Dufresne and dozens of Epstein's accusers are vowing to get answers.
I won't stop fighting. I will never be silenced until these people are brought to justice.
And this is still an active investigation. Prosecutors are looking into whether anyone else participated in or facilitated abuse. As for Ghislaine Maxwell, she has not been charged with any crime and has insisted that all of Dufresne's allegations, including those about Prince Andrew, are false.
It's amazing, even after Epstein's death, these conversations and some of the investigations still moving forward.
Well, that's because girls like the ones that Epstein used over the years, and the ones that this low-life bag of lukewarm canine excrement is talking about, well, we're just peons. They're just peons. They're of no importance to anyone at all. They're prostitutes. They must have been. They must have been morally decrepit because it's their fault that they were raped, not the prince's fault and not anybody else's fault. But I can tell you, Epstein was Clintonized because the Clintons were frequent flyers on the Lolita Express. All right, now it's time for another of the Way to Happiness booklet, another number in there. We're on number 7. Seek to live with the truth. And now this is not what you think it is. Seek to live with the truth. False data can cause one to make stupid mistakes. It can even block one from absorbing true data. One can solve the problems of existence only when he has true data. Data is facts, basically. If those around one lie to him or her, one is led into making errors and his survival potential is reduced. False data can come from many sources, academic, social, professional. Many want you to believe things just to suit their own ends. What is true is what is true for you. No one has any right to force data off on you and command you to believe it or else. If it is not true for you, it isn't true. Think your own way through things. Accept what is true for you. Discard the rest. There is nothing unhappier than one who tries to live in a chaos of lies. Let us put this and compare it to something that's happening now, such as the so-called impeachment inquiries. There are two types of people on Earth, not just in the United States, on Earth. There are those who are too lazy to evaluate differences, similarities, facts, truths for themselves, and they would rather just listen to their elders or their authority figures and believe what they're told because it's the easiest way out. And then there are people like me who look at things based on logic and my history and my knowledge and my research, and I determine whether or not this is real and this is true. You are lied to on a daily basis. The media lies to you. They give you false data. The media does this. Schools do this. Your friends do this. Newspapers, you name it. You get false data. Wrong facts. You have to be both willing and able to evaluate the differences between what is a truth and what is a lie. On November 7th, Donald Trump Jr. was on The View with Whoopi Goldberg and some other screaming communistic females. And he was basically advertising his new book that was just being released. I'll let you figure out the title of it. See if you can figure it out before Whoopi Goldberg shuts the interview down.
Now, recently you've been very outspoken about how Hunter Biden has benefited from nepotism.
Yes.
And you say, I wish my name was Hunter Biden. I could make millions off of my father's presidency. Yeah. And your father tweeted this. He said, encourages people to buy your book. I think that's benefiting from your dad's presidency, but not that my opinion matters. But let's talk about 2020, because you do talk about 2020 in your book.
The show?
You, no, 2020. He talks about 2020.
Can I address Hunter Biden
ABC
first?
ABC plug.
Listen, I get that I'm the son of a rich guy from New York. I understand that. My father has done a lot. You know, I've benefited from that, as Hunter Biden has. The difference is we did that as a private company. When we got into international politics, the second my father won the presidency, he said, we will not do new foreign deals going forward. Hunter Biden utilized his father's vice presidency to magically end up on a board in Ukraine with a language he doesn't speak, on a business he knows nothing about, for $83,000
a month.
If I did that, you guys would lose your minds. Well, understandably.
Can I push back on that a little bit?
So yeah, we stopped.
Can
we
push back a little bit?
It's a false equivalency.
Because the D.C. hotel, your father's D.C. hotel, opened up just a couple of weeks after his election.
I'm glad you asked.
And you've actually made, I think, according to your father's financial report, he earned about $40.8 million, just a minute, from his D.C. hotel in 2018. The attorney general is going to hold a $30,000 holiday party at the D.C. hotel. A lobbying firm with ties to the Saudi government paid $270,000 to the hotel between October 2016 and March 2017.
There's
well, listen. Let me say, thank God he's president.
He knows how to make a buck.
Brought it up.
So these are the details. The bottom line is, you have made money.
But let me finish. These are the details that the media always neglects. Yes, we're in the hotel business. We have been for decades. Yeah. That's not a secret. When we take money from a foreign entity in D.C., most of it's foreign entities, right? But the government-related foreign entities, when they come, we literally stroke a check back to the U.S. Treasury. We spend more money on accountants than we can make from this to make sure we're doing that right, because we can't do that. My father gives back his entire salary to the U.S. Treasury to be put towards causes, whether it was alcoholism, whether it was the Department of Interior. So we're literally not making money from any of those foreign governments. We're giving it back to the Treasury, and by the way, there's an opportunity.
But you are making money from the hotel based on the
We're in the hotel business. So, right, nothing to, like, we're giving back.
That's not a problem. They have a duty and obligation to honor their business.
We didn't become international businessmen magically when we got an office.
Listen,
that's something no one talks about.
Don't do that.
Excuse me.
Thank you. The cross-talking is making everyone crazy. When I hit the bell, it's to keep y'all from cross-talking. Please stop.
I'm new here, sorry.
That's all right.
Let's get back to 2020. Who do you hope runs against your dad?
You know, honestly, it doesn't matter that much to me. I mean, I sort of believe that the American people, and I understand, with full disclaimer, I'm the son of a rich guy from New York, but, you know, I spent a lot of time in middle America. Perfect. You're right. Man of the people. But I do spend a lot of time in middle America. I spend a lot of time there. And honestly, people are happy. They see the results. They see wages going up. You have no idea how many Democrats come up to me and say, Don, I wish they'd let him do his job.
But Donald.
And that's the problem. The Democratic Party has left the working class that they used to represent.
That's not true.
By the way, he seems to be petrified
of Joe Biden. Joe Biden's beating him in a lot of polls. He's scared of Joe Biden.
Joe Biden doesn't know what state he's in.
Joe Biden has 20 people.
So you know what?
Here's the thing.
It would be easier to have this conversation.
It's true.
We would be easier to have this conversation if we could do it without the jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Because the jokes are making it hard to hear anybody's points.
No, but who said a joke?
We have to be able to have that kind of discourse. I mean, look at what's going on in terms of PC culture. This is where I talk about the book.
There is.
Joy, what do you think about, like, Dave Chappelle or Burr or those guys getting canceled? I mean, you're a stand-up comic.
I know, that's crazy. Dave Chappelle was not canceled.
Dave Chappelle took himself out. There are leftists that are out there trying to stop these guys from having free speech, from being funny. Whose side are you on? I'm on the side of free speech
and comedy. Let the comedians do their thing. You're not a comedian.
Can I answer one something real quick, Whoopi, to just say about character? Because I grew up in the Mission District where you filmed Sister Act at St. Paul's at one of my parishes there. Right. I know the president for 13th. I know Don Jr. I'm proud Latina, Hispanic, 64% Native American Indian. I know the measure of the man, and I know his character. Maybe there's some things he said or done. Both of them, the entire family. I stand for them because I do believe their commitment. Women are doing better under President Trump. Hispanics, African Americans. That's not fake news. It's real. Women entrepreneurs.
Okay. Are you going to be able to work I will just say this because it is the end of the show.
I don't think it is. I don't think it's the end of this show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we still have time. Thank you for coming. The new book, Triggered, is out now.
So obviously, Whoopi was triggered. And that's a bad thing about these Democrats. They're very tolerant of whatever's in their mind if you agree with them, but they're extremely intolerant if you dare to say or do anything against what's in their little mind. All right, each show I'm supposed to do something that's going to help you and aid in your survival. So what we're going to talk about now is books and other survival data. Let me quote Edmund Burke. People will not look forward to posterity who never look backwards to their ancestors. And you'll probably understand this better if I quote George Santayana. Progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness. When change is absolute, there remains no being to improve and no direction is set for positive improvement. And when experience is not retained, as among savages, infancy is perpetual. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. So basically what that means is that you need to understand where you came from. You need to understand some history. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is also history. Everything from the past, from 1,000 years ago to last week, is knowledge. And in this day and age, we get knowledge from books. We get knowledge from articles. We get knowledge from things that are people have written. I have a file here. Now, this is going to take me some work. But I am going to have on my website, you go to armchairsurvivalist.com, and you know about show notes. You click on that, and you get today's show, and I'm going to have all kinds of books, PDFs on my site that you can download. Let me give you some ideas what I'm talking about, okay? Let's see. Now, there's going to be a lot of duplicates. And this is something you'll have to figure out yourself, because I'm not. And my son will be doing these links, so he's probably not going to do it either. The Farmer's Almanac, Emergency Medicine Manuals, United States Weapon Systems, Department of Defense 101, the Boy Scout Handbooks, Army Field Manuals, more free medical books, handy farm devices, remote areas development manuals, romance novels for you guys that like slob operas and you women, survival books, survival database downloads. There's a thing called, Gutenberg wrote the Bible originally. Now they have what's called a CD and DVD Project Gutenberg. U.S. Joint Services manuals, the Where There Is No Doctor books. These are all downloads. And then I have a bunch of free Kindle downloads, a website that does maps. You just dream up a map and you can probably find it there. Music. It's called MuseOpen, and it's a website that it stores thousands and thousands and thousands of music. It's great. Let's see, PDF books. This is the big one. And I'm obviously not going to read all of these. Beekeeping, practical use for 9 essential oils. Troop guide. A German doctor at the front. American Second Crusade. Canning. Declaration of Independence. Well, who needs to read that anymore? Department of Homeland Security radio communication info. The Federalist Papers. Oh, let's see. We're going to have all kinds of stuff here. A lot of medical stuff. There's even a book on plastic surgery for dummies. Ew, that just raises the hackles in the back of my neck. None Dare Call It Conspiracy. You might want to read that book. A lot of survival medicine books. The Blue Jackets Manual. I had to learn that cover to cover when I went into service. This is the Mortician's U.S. Army Field Manual. Dead bodies, what to do with them. Wild plants of the United States and Canada. Well, let's see. Those are over 3,000 free audiobooks, more Army field manuals. When There Is No Dentist. See, you'll find the link for When There Is No Doctor and When There Is No Dentist. Well, let's see. A lot of military medical course downloads. And it's something that I like, old-time radio. There's a link. Now, some of these are PDFs. Some of these are actual links that you would go to. And the last time I checked, all of these links were still valid. So you'll have to figure it out. If there's some wrong links, I'm sure you'll get to them. But my advice is that you download everything that you can. And then using the information that I gave you and the idea that you can download data, do so. Get yourself little flash drives. They look like a stick of gum, and they stick in the USB port on your computer or your laptop, your PC. You can store thousands of books on one of these. And then at a later date, you can read those books. I wouldn't store them on your computer, because if there's an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, your computer is toast. You could always burn them onto DVDs and CDs, but those break. So these little flash drives are great things to have. You can store things on there for emergency use. If I were you, I'd take my time and I would index all these different things, these documents, these music even, these books. Then you can draw from them in the future. Let's see. 10 space-saving tips and storage tricks, 12 clever uses for olive oil, 40 Ways Honey Can Save Your Life, Honey in Home Remedies. So there's a lot of information here. And we're going to get it up as soon as we can. You go to Armchair Survivalist, by the way. You go there, armchairsurvivalist.com. We do a lot of work. I spend a whole week researching stuff. And then I do a whole day editing the show and putting it together and uploading it to Todd, the engineer. And then he puts it out to all the podcasts and the satellite and wherever else it is I'm on. By the way, I forgot to mention I have a new affiliate, AM station. This is in Utah. It's KYAH 540 AM. They have a website. It's YAHradio540.com. So you can listen to me over the AM there in Utah. I'm not sure exactly what the coverage is. I'm sure you can figure it out. But it's 540 AM. And most AM stations in Utah, you can hear about 1,000 miles away, especially at night. You get skip, and you can listen to them. What I'm trying to get at on the books and such like that is that this is knowledge. This is something that's vital, and you can download other things as well that you feel are vital. The books and the PDFs and the such that I'm going to be posting for you to download, there's so much more out there. You figure out what you think you're going to need or what posterity might need, and then you go and download it. You can go to archive.org and do searches for different books and such, and Gutenberg, you can do that. Whatever you think you're going to need, go ahead and download it. It's not going to hurt. It's just going to, you know, take up some space on a little flash drive. Not a big deal. It's easy to do. All right. Anyway, we're going to head out here. I appreciate you guys listening. I hope that I help somebody somewhere. That's why I do this, and I've been doing this for a long time. You know, I've been doing this for over 20 years. I have been keeping my shows, I think, for about 10 years. Before, I didn't care. The engineers would keep the show, and they'd keep it on archives for the radio station, and GCN did the same thing. I might start naming my shows, like season 20, episode 17, season 20, episode 18, episode 19. I think that's what I'm on now. I think I might start doing that at the beginning of the shows. Anyway, I appreciate everybody listening. If you have any questions, you can send me an email. If you have any ideas, you can send me an email. If you have any updates to what I've been talking about, send me an email, kw@armchairsurvivalist.com. You can figure that one out. Go to armchairsurvivalist.com, and there's a link at the bottom of the page. You can send me an email. Go to se1.us, survivalenterprises.com. That's my store, and having it is why I can afford to spend so much time doing this. We have stuff that's on sale. We have stuff we're closing out. I'll be talking more about some of our products as time goes by. You can call us 800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. If you got something that ails you, just, you know, give us a call. Say, this is what's going on. Remember, we have antimicrobials. We have colloidal silver. We have oregano oil. We don't have normal anything. This is not some multi-level marketing garbage we sell. We sell the strongest on earth, always. We have the best CBD oil for now. That you can get anywhere in the United States. We don't know what's going to be happening come January 1st, thanks to the USDA. And like I said in the beginning, if you guys rely on our CBD oil, stock up. You can just put it in the refrigerator. It'll be good for years. Anyway, keep your nose in the air, ear to the ground. Pay attention. Learn to tell the difference between the truth and lies, or reality and false data. This is the Armchair Survivalist signing off.